From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Back at it. Another hour of the Bill Michaels Show. On the beginning of Bill Michaels Radio, Joe across the way. This portion of the program brought to you by good friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget a Quick Trip right now. Today, as a matter of fact, being Tuesday, they have the soup on sale. 36 and 40-ounce bags of soup. $5.99 each in the assorted varieties, but at Quick Trip, they're giving away $15,000 in prizes, and you can win things like an Apple Watch, a Yeti cooler, a PS4 bundle, KitchenAid mixer, whatever it happens to be, but you got to have the Quick Rewards card. Go to quicktrip.com, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com, that's quicktrip.com, and you can see all the prizes for yourself. If you go to quicktrip.com/sweepstakes, you can check out the daily prizes right there. John Horst, the general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks, this team has been streamlined. They pulled off a heck of a trade to free up cap space going into next season. They make a deal to get better. So give me your thoughts right now as it stands, as the Bucks continue to move forward in the strength of this team. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. They get a win over Cleveland last night, even without superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo for the matchup. The Bucks had had few problems without Giannis. They get a 108-92 win last night over the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Fiserv Forum. Wasn't a great performance by any stretch of the imagination. Yet the Bucks did get off to a rough start, but ended up cruising after that. And the Cavs, enduring a near 3-minute scoring drought late in the first quarter. The Bucks get a 31-18 after one win or a lead, and after that, they never looked back. They were led by Malcolm Brogdon, his strong start to the shooting in the second half. The Bucks went into full cruise control after that, and they just get an easy win. So it was good to see them not only get the win, but get the win after a big win over the Toronto Raptors, stacking success. A lot of people still feel this one's from Taylor. Who writes, I want to see that the Bucks are going to be good. I'm going to go to the Fiserv Forum coming up here after the first of the year. But this team still needs to win a playoff series. At what point do you think this is going to be a good program? I think they're a good program now. That's just it. They're a good program now. Short of the playoff win, what are you waiting for? You know? Short of the playoff win, what else are you waiting for? What are you waiting to believe in? They've got a bona fide superstar, an MVP candidate. There's one reason to rally around somebody. They've got a team that's winning, something you haven't seen a lot around here as of late. They've got shooting. They've got a good coach. You know, they've been able to stack success consistently all season long. They've beaten, if you're waiting to say, well, give me a signature win, tell me the wins they don't have. They've beaten Toronto twice. They've beaten Philadelphia, beaten Indiana. They've beaten Golden State. They've beaten Denver. Denver's an 18-19. What else do they got to do to prove to you that this is a good basketball team? 855-830-8648. They beaten Boston yet, Joe? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think they've only played them once and they lost.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Boston 16-10. They have actually put it together too. They, after a really slow start, they have come on strong. They've won six in a row. They were sitting at 500 for a while, and then all of a sudden they started to pour it on, getting a little bit healthier. They beat Detroit. What else do the Bucks got to do to say, okay, look, we're a team to pay attention to come the postseason? Barring an injury to Giannis, knock on wood, what else does this team have to do to prove to you that they're a pretty good basketball team? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, also hit us up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can also find him @Radio Joe Sports. So what else does this team have to do to prove to you they're a good basketball team that's on the come? Josh says he earned my trust, meaning John Horst, this summer. His off-season signings were perfect for this team, and now to be able to unload the contracts of Dele and Henson, that's incredibly impressive. This one says from Brew. Brew says, to get rid of Dellavedova and John Henson's contracts, he must have been taking a page out of the John Hammond playbook. Remember when John Hammond got rid of Gazzarich? That contract was just, you never thought you'd get out from underneath that. And he did. That's what that getting rid of Dellavedova and John Henson's contracts were like. Randy tweets us @Bill_Michaels. I think John Horst has had a great year starting with getting the owners to agree to move on from Coach Kidd and bringing Coach Bud in the offseason. The acquisitions of Lopez, Dante D, navigating through a lot of difficult contracts to free up money, doing a great job. Charlie says, have to admit, wasn't fond of Horst in the beginning. Seems like things are starting to come together. Now one or two more moves should put this team over the top. Craig says, no trust in Horst yet, but I believe I'm leaning in that direction. When you say no trust in Horst, are you talking like the In Ted We Trust type of thing, where you just threw all your chips into that basket, or are you still sitting back with a little bit of a raised eyebrow, or you don't trust him at all? I don't want to read anything into your what you're trying to say, I guess, is the best way to put it. 855-830-8648. KJ in West Dallas, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucks are in a good position right now. Even if they kind of hover around the 1-2-3 seed throughout the year, as long as they can keep the core players healthy, I think they have a lot more depth than they've had in a while. You know, they seem to be like 6 to 8 guys strong. They can come in with, you know, the reserves and still not lose a lot of production. I think Malcolm Brogdon is just having a phenomenal year so far. The guy has been like money from the three-point line, and he brings a very stable presence on the floor. He doesn't turn the ball over very often. And, you know, I really like also, you know, what the other guard's doing. What's his name? The other point guard?
Eric Bledsoe?
Bledsoe? Okay.
Yeah, Bledsoe. Bledsoe's having a strong year, too.
Yeah, Bledsoe's shooting has gotten really good, and the thing about it is when he had the knock on him was about all the selfishness, and he's been really good this year. He's been good this year.
He's been awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
thanks, KJ.
Eric Bledsoe was in the doghouse for so many Bucks fans, including me, because he was horrible in the playoffs. He cost them. He is part of the reason why that Bucks team could not get out of the first round against a Boston team that had a lot of young guys on it. I mean, Eric Bledsoe made a lot of Bucks fans mad. And so in the offseason, a lot of people, including me, were kind of like, well, I'd be fine if they find a way to trade him. And they never did. And so he comes back, and under Budenholzer, he's a completely different basketball player.
Yeah.
The unselfishness. Let's just start there. He was last year, it was always, well, Eric Bledsoe needs to get his shots, and he's going to try and jack him up however he wants. Now it's a little different. Eric Bledsoe, he's not, when he's got that basketball, he's looking for open shooters. And if he does see the opportunity to get to a lane and get to the basket, he will do it, but he's smart about it. And if he does see a situation where he's driving and all of a sudden there's that big man trying to block his shot, he's going to kick it back to someone else. Eric Bledsoe has, I can't believe how well this guy is playing. And if you get that kind of production out of Eric Bledsoe, not just throughout this season, but into the playoffs, they are going to go far. And you need a guy like that to give you the points, but also to have that unselfishness. Because this system under Budenholzer is all about passing the basketball, finding the best possible shot. And this Bucks team, everyone on it follows it. It is so refreshing to have a coach bring a system in, and these guys are able to respond to it right away. And then, again, there's a lot of new faces on this team, too. This is not really the identical Bucks team of last year. You've got new pieces, you've got new guys coming off the bench, and everyone is trucking along. Everyone is contributing, and there's trust. I love it right now. I love what this Bucks team is doing.
855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Back out on the road again on Thursday night. Going to be at Rivals down in Kenosha. Come on by and say hi. Joe's going to be there. Mike Clemens going to be there. I'll be there. The Bud Light Street Team, all going to be on site. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. That's this Thursday night, 6 to 8 at Rivals down in Kenosha. Hope to see you there. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say she went down in an airplane, flying, getting suntan, fell in a cement mixer full of quicksand. Help me, help me, I'm no good at goodbye.
Welcome back. Talking to Bucks basketball, John Horst has done some things for this Bucks team that, it's made them better. I don't know how else to put it. Made them better. So your thoughts on John Horst as the general manager? I mean, you may have had a skewed opinion about John early on. He wasn't the guy that was originally picked to be the successor to John Hammond. And he has made some deals, getting rid of Dellavedova and John Henson and those contracts and bringing in Brooke Lopez. And obviously, Ersan wanted to live here, and he wanted to play here, so that was kind of a no-brainer. But the fact that this team is stronger, Budenholzer's a guy that's got them all together, playing on the same page. They've been able to overcome some adversity, and they're seemingly getting better as the season goes along. Give me your thoughts on John Horst as a general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks. Have you kind of regained trust in that Bucks front office? I still think that there's some issues behind the scenes with the ownership group. From what I hear, a lot of rumors about things that may or may not happen. Will there be two owners by the end of the season? Will there be just one? There's going to be a transfer of governorship next year. I mean, all that kind of stuff. So you're looking at some things that are going to be a little bit speculative down the road. But as far as on the court with John Horst as the general manager, how are you feeling about this Bucks organization?
Tell me where, since the offseason, there was a move where you could look at and say, this move is not working out.
No, everything's been good.
Really, there has not been a single move that Horst has made where there are regrets or it's like, what the hell were you thinking? Why do we have this guy? Every guy, from Brooke Lopez to Ersan to Pat Connaughton, drafting Dante DiVincenzo, cutting Jabari Parker loose, hiring Mike Budenholzer, there is not a single move that you can point to and say, this is hurting the Bucks right now. Oh, and by the way, you were able to move two bad contracts in John Henson, who I like as a person, and Matthew Dellavedova, who was totally useless for you ever since you signed him to that big contract. You were able to move those two big contracts, and I said it going into the offseason, Bill. You remember this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God bless John Horst, because I don't know how he's going to be able to unload all these bad contracts, because the Bucks were in salary cap hell, and you were able to get rid of those two guys. And on top of it, you bring in two solid veterans with solid leadership in Jason Smith and George Hill to add to what you already have in a team that is trying to make a legitimate bid for being the best team in the Eastern Conference. All this right now, can't ask for a better situation. What's going to be a little bit more challenging for John Horst is this coming off season afterwards, where he's got to figure out what to do with Chris Middleton. Does he sign him to a big deal? Does he try to put a max contract with him? Resigning Malcolm Brogdon, does that happen? Brooke Lopez, that's going to happen. He's going to be a free agent. Eric Bledsoe's going to be a free agent. Do you pay him big money after what you've seen out of him? There's going to be a lot of big questions. But right now, the team that they've built and the head coach that they have, this is a formula for some major success to come from this Bucks team. I have never been this high on the Bucks, and I had doubts. Bill, I know you had doubts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going into the offseason, I was not feeling good about anything because, again, you had all these bad contracts. You just blew it again in the first round of the playoffs like you do every single year. I wasn't really sure how this Bucks team was going to get better. Boy, have I been wrong about it.
Yeah.
I've really loved what this Bucks team has done.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. We want to hear from you, 855-830-8648. By the way, the Milwaukee Bucks, they get the win last night. They did it without Giannis. A lot of concern whether or not Giannis is going to have look, I'll say this. Don't worry about Giannis. Giannis is fine. No big deal. Some people just – here's the thing. People don't pay attention to the Bucks, and all of a sudden they hear, wait a minute, Giannis didn't play. What's wrong with Giannis? Is he out? How long is he in? It's like, don't panic. Don't panic. Just, you know, just don't worry about it. Bucks are going to be good. Giannis is going to be good. The guy's on his way to an MVP. And that's what we should start talking about. Is Giannis now one of the front runners, if not the front runner for the MVP? If you had to end the season, say, January 1st, after you get into October, November, and December, you got 3 months in for where you're at right now, should Giannis be the MVP of the league? You'd almost have to go and say yes, the way he's playing right now. I mean, they've been fantastic. They've been absolutely fantastic. Would Giannis be considered the MVP of the league so far? I think without a doubt. I mean, there's obviously good players in this league, and you know, but you've had other injuries. Draymond Green was down. Steph Curry was down. You've had other guys that have been down for some extended period of time. Giannis has been there almost each and every night. Giannis is having a hell of a season. This may be – now, they got to win in the postseason, but it's not going to be – it's not a postseason award. Usually at the end of the season, at the last game is when they start voting on this stuff. Should Giannis be the MVP? If the season were to end, say, today or at the end of this month, would Giannis be the man? I think so. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free. But would Giannis be your pick for MVP right now? And I think that alone creates one hell of a buzz. That alone should put more butts in the seats just because Giannis is on his way to a season that we have not seen around in a long time. In a long time. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Should Giannis be the MVP right now the way it stands today? I'd look at Giannis and go, yeah. Who else, right now, Joe, who else would you consider in this league the MVP candidate?
I mean, we can start with Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant obviously having a hell of a year.
I mean, LeBron. LeBron's playing very yep. well with the Lakers.
Yep.
But no, I think this is a very serious year for Giannis to try and get the MVP. I think it's very possible. His numbers are, I mean, look at his numbers, Bill.
His numbers are huge.
They're tremendous.
Yeah. His numbers are huge. He's been fantastic. And the best part about it is he's doing everything. His assists are up. His points obviously are up. Everything the guy's doing is up. And he's not just doing it via the dunk.
Well, and you know why that is? Because you have a head coach that understands that the ball should always go through Giannis. That's why the assist numbers are up. That's why he's able to dish it out to guys who are capable of shooting three-pointers. I mean, not only did Jason Kidd not believe in shooting the three, when he had guys shooting the three, they weren't good three-point shooters, mm-hmm. and some guys were letdowns. This year, some guys have turned it around. Chris Middleton has been a better three-point shooter. Eric Bledsoe has been a better three-point shooter. And I think you have to attribute that to the coaching staff because they like to work specifically on specific things with their players. You know, this whole, you know, you read about it in the offseason when Budenholzer came in. They did this thing in Atlanta where it's like, you know, take your vitamins. And what that meant was you would have an assistant coach working with a guy to work on one specific part of their game. And that was the vitamin that they had to take for the
right.
for the day. And believe me, it worked in Atlanta with some of these guys trying to be better players and trying to work on specific parts. And before John Henson was traded, I mean, he never shot a three-point shot in his life. And actually, he started to hit some threes before he got traded and before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, this coaching staff has worked really hard changing these guys and improving these guys. And again, this is part of the reason why they are playing really good basketball right now.
Boy, you look, Giannis, I would say yes for everything that he's done. You're right about Kevin Durant. The guy that nobody's really talking about, and it's surprising. I mean, they're talking about him on the West Coast, but LeBron James has the Lakers at 17-10, averaging 28.3 points per game. He's a plus 2.8 in the plus-minus category, where Giannis, by the way, leads all. Giannis, well, I take that back. Steph Curry, but Steph Curry's played a lot less games than Giannis. Steph Curry's played seven less games. And he's a 10.1 in the plus minus. Giannis is a 9.7. Steph Curry's big to his team. There's no doubt about it. Like a guy like, say, who else here? What is it? Danny Green for Toronto. He's played 28 games. He's an 11.1. But Steph Curry, I mentioned, is a 10.1. Giannis is right there. After 24 contests, he's a 9.7. Steve Adams from Oklahoma City is a 9.9. But in the plus-minus category, he's in the top five or six for that as well, for guys that have played over 10, 15 games. Giannis is just having a hell of a season. 855-830-8648. Let's go to David up in Appleton. David, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Dad, how are you doing today, Bill?
Good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the future and the free agents and as things stand right now. I know it's a long season, but the way I see it, between Brogdon, Bledsoe, and Middleton, if I had to pick, I think you're only going to be able to keep two of the three. Right now, I would say Bledsoe and Brogdon. I think Middleton is still a little inconsistent. And I have that little bit of a Michael Redd fear. And Brogdon is just so steady and so strong on defense. And Bledsoe, I was down on him last year. I felt he was a me player and didn't play hard. And I just can't believe what I've seen, which might be a little bit of the Jabari Parker factor. And if Giannis does get the MVP, I think Bledsoe is going to be the main reason if this continues.
You may be right. Appreciate the phone call. This one's from Jack, who says, who are the bigger free agents that are going to be out there that the Bucks could possibly go after? Well, Kevin Durant, look, he's going to be a free agent, but he's either going to end up back in Golden State or he's going to go to the Lakers. One of the two. I don't think he goes anywhere, to be honest with you. I think he stays with the Warriors. Kawhi Leonard, but he had that quad injury. And he's been requesting a trade for a while. Kyrie Irving, one of the best point guards in the league, plenty of playoff experience. Just 26, by the way. And Boston figures to be right there all over again this year. They're starting to win now. They would like to get him locked up long term. It wouldn't surprise me if they do. By the way, somebody just texted me and said Jimmy Butler. No, I don't want Jimmy Butler anywhere near this team. He's a mess. He's a mess. Klay Thompson is another one. I would assume that he's going to end up with Golden State, but I wouldn't put all my money on it. Whether he negotiates the extension or he ends up just opting for complete free agency, we'll wait and see, but I don't know. You got Karl Anthony Towns. Somebody just mentioned him. He's restricted, I think. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he is. He's restricted. DeMarcus Cousins will be out there. Al Horford will be out there. Kemba Walker will be out there. Obviously, Middleton and Bledsoe, they got to get those guys locked up. So, but that's some of the top free agents that are going to be out there this upcoming offseason. 855-830-8648. Hey, don't want to remind you that we are heading to Super Bowl this year. The big game. The NFL's biggest stage, and we're going to be there live and in person and going to be down in Atlanta, Georgia this year. Brought to you by a lot of great people. Our friends at Skipper Buds, you can check out their selection of yachts and pontoons and sports and deck boats and fishing boats. They got it all. Cruisers, Four Winds, Mastercraft, Smoker Craft, Star Craft, Taiga, Scarab. Go to SkipperBudsPewaukee.com. That's SkipperBudsPewaukee.com for all that they have to offer. And for great service, go see my buddy Ryan or the general manager out there, Todd, or any one of the Skipper Buds locations. Just go to SkipperBuds.com. Also, our friends at Brager Chevrolet, the leader when it comes to Silverados. If you're on the lookout, check out their website, BragerChevy.com. B-R-A-E-G-E-R, BragerChevy.com. They got a huge selection if you're looking for service, all vehicles. Check out my buddy Glenn over there in the service department as well. And Cornet and the whole staff down at Coach's Pub and Grill. That's the home of the Big Boy Burger. Great specials if you're out and about shopping for the holidays. South 13th Street in Milwaukee. Make it a point to stop in. Or on a Friday, go get the fish fry. Good fish fry. Always have sports on the TVs. Friendly service. And like I said, Cornet's usually sitting at the end of the bar. Really good dude. Walk in, tell him we said hi. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open, first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie welcome to the game.
Once Antonio Brown throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home. Fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Time now for the frenzy. We start off the Jets. The Bills, Elijah McGuire, give the Jets the go-ahead TD in the fourth quarter late. Here it is.
The Jets break the huddle. Fourth down and goal to go at the one-yard line. They are down by three. They're bypassing a game-tying field goal. They're going to go for it and try and take the lead. I formation. Dozier is the fullback. McGuire is the tailback. Sam Darnold gives to McGuire. Running right. Cuts it back at the goal line. He's in. That's a Jet touchdown. The Jets take the lead with 1:17 to go.
Jets get the win 27-23 over the Bills. Sam Darnold 16-24, 170 yards. Touchdown, a pick along the way. A terrible day for Allen and Jones and company. Allen 18-36, 206 yards and two picks for the Buffalo Bills. And it just wasn't a good day all around for pretty much anybody, unless, of course, you had Anderson, four catches, 76 yards, and the TD. Beyond that, not much to write home about and rather of a yawner of a game. That was on the Jets radio network. Then you got the Browns and the Panthers. Baker Mayfield, he connects to Jarvis Landry. Their second TD of the day. Here we go.
Baker's got the snap. He's up in the pocket. He's looking left. Down the field. Firing. He's going for Landry. Down by the end zone. A tumbling catch for a touchdown. What a catch by Landry. Mayfield with a rocket of 51 yards to go with a 66-yarder earlier. And the Browns are a kick away from tying the ball game up.
Browns Radio Network and the Browns get the win 26-20. They go to 5-7-1. Five wins this season for the Cleveland Browns. The Panthers are reeling right now. A lot of talk about Riverboat Ron being out of a job. Panthers fall to 6-7 on the season. Baker Mayfield continues to be an impressive cat. He ends up going 18-22, 238 yards, very efficient, 126.9 quarterback rating, a touchdown on the day. Then you've got Cam Newton, 26-42, 265 yards, sacked only once but threw just one pick. No touchdowns on the day. Not a great day for Cam Newton and company. In the meantime, as we continue on, the Chiefs and the Ravens, Harrison Butker kicks a 36-yarder in overtime.
It's a 36-yard attempt here at 4:46 to go in the overtime to give the Chiefs a lead at 24-24. Butker missed the 43-yarder. Low snap again, but this time Butker's kick is up, and it's just inside the near upright. It's good, and the Chiefs lead 27-24.
And that's the way it ended on the Chiefs radio network. Patrick Mahomes, 35 of 53. You heard me right, 53 pass attempts. For Patrick Mahomes, 377 yards, sacked three times, a couple of touchdowns, one pick, 91.5 quarterback rating. That's the way that one ended. By the way, Tariq Hill, eight catches, 139 yards, but did not dent the end zone. Travis Kelce, the tight end, continues to be solid, seven catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown reception on the day. Then you've got the Dolphins. It was the Dolphins' miracle. Take a listen to this. Here we go.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's Drake, 30, 20. Greg Pelce's got a tackle.
The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
Borrowing a old phrase from Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw. Drake, 69 yards after three other laterals along the way. 34-33 on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Dolphins get the win. Tannehill, 14 of 19. That's it. 265 yards. Three touchdowns on the day. That long one being the 69-yarder to end things. 155.2 quarterback rating. Tom Brady, 27 of 43. 358 yards. And a couple of sacks. Three touchdowns. He also had a hell of a day. Edelman, 86 yards on nine catches. Gronkowski, eight catches. 107 yards and a touchdown for the Patriots on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, who their engineer probably still today is trying to figure things out as to how he didn't have all of the speakers blown out all across the stadium. Saints, Buccaneers, Taysom Hill, block, punt!
Fourth and three, anger out to punt, and it's blocked! Taysom Hill is through with the punt block, and the Saints recover at the 30-yard line, and that's the kind of play this team needed in this game.
28-14, Saints get the win on the Saints Radio Network. Drew Brees continues to be so impressive. 24-31, 201 yards, very steady. He did have a pick on the day, had one touchdown as well. Thomas, 11 catches, 98 yards. They ran the ball for 100 yards as well. So good stuff there from the New Orleans Saints as they go to 11-2. The Buccaneers fall to 5-8. Meanwhile, the Redskins and the Giants, Saquon Barkley, he just blew up Washington's D. Take a listen.
First and 10 at their own 22. Hand off Barkley, runs left, he's got room. He's up to the 40, 50, it's a foot race. To the Redskins 30. No one's going to catch Barkley. He raises his hand and celebrates. Touchdown, Giants. 78 yards for the rookie sensation, Saquon Barkley.
Giants Radio Network 40-16. The Giants go to 5-8. The Redskins go to 6-7. A tight cluster right now in the East as well. And in that ball game, Barkley is really just what an impressive season he is having. 14 carries, 178 yards, average 12.1 yards per carry. That 78-yarder right there, that was a touchdown. Eli Manning, 14 of 22, three touchdowns on a day. Eli is playing some better football as well. And, by the way, Barkley, not only 170 yards on the ground, but also 27 yards through the air as well with four catches. And we continue on. You've got the Colts and the Texans. Andrew Luck, he finds Eric Ebron for the score.
Second down and 11. Luck, five-step drop. Has all day to throw. Fires into the at the one-yard line. The ball is caught by Eric Ebron, and then he rolls across the goal line. Touchdown, Eric Ebron! 15-yard pass from Andrew Luck. And Eric Ebron finds the end zone for the 12th time this season as a receiver. And the Colts have the first lead today.
Colts Radio Network right there. They went into Houston. Houston been on a roll, and they beat the Houston Texans 24-21. Andrew Luck, 27-41, 399 yards, a touchdown, or two touchdowns, and a pick. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, 27-38, 267 yards, a touchdown, no picks, 99.3 quarterback rating on the day. Nine catches, 199 yards for T.Y. Hilton. Did not dent the end zone, though, believe it or not. Almost 200 yards of total offense for Hilton on nine catches, but did not get into the end zone. That was on the Colts Radio Network. Chargers, Bengals, Phillip Rivers hooks up with Keenan Hill. Touchdown.
And wide right is Keenan Allen in the shotgun. Rivers takes the snap, looking right, still looking right, steps up in the pocket, goes to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Chargers, 14 yards. Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen on the ball, on the catch, I should say. He ends up taking it in on that 14-yard pass. That made it 7-0, and after that, they went on to beat Cincinnati 26-21. Cincinnati gave it a valiant effort, but it was just for nothing. 19 of 29, 20 yards for Phillip Rivers. He's having a hell of a year, too. That's a team that continues to roll on the San Diego Chargers Radio Network. Chargers now 10-3. Very quiet, but people aren't talking about the San Diego Chargers at all. Cincinnati continues to woe. And they are 5-8. You would assume at some point will be the end of the Marvin Lewis run in Cincinnati. The 49ers and the Broncos. Nick Mullins to George Kittle. Touchdown.
Out of a pistol, showing a little fly sweep motion. Mullins pulls the ball back, throws to a wide open Kittle near side. Kittle 40. Kittle needs a block 50. Kittle got the block.
Goodbye.
30. He is gone. Stone cold Kittle. 85 yards. Welcome to the 1,000-yard club. Touchdown, 49ers!
On the 49ers Radio Network, that made it 13-0. 49ers going to win 20-14 on the day. Case Keenum, 24 of 42, 186 yards for the Broncos. One touchdown, nothing else to write home about. Mullins, 20 of 33, 332 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, but a 102.1 quarterback rating. Kittle, by the way, that 85-yarder gives him a touchdown, but seven catches, 210 yards, and puts him into the 1,000-yard club, as you just heard right there on the 49ers Radio Network. Raiders, Steelers, not a good moment for the Pittsburgh kicker, Chris Boswell.
Here is Boswell to tie it and send us to overtime. This will be a 40-yarder. He's missed a 37-yarder earlier today. Snap, hold, he slips. The Raiders win it. Can you believe it?
Oh, my.
The Raiders are a winner. Let the celebration begin, baby.
Brett, I've never seen anything like this. What an exciting game.
That was their third win of the season. They act like it was a Super Bowl on the Raiders Radio Network. That was Brent Musburger, 24-21, the final, and they're reeling now in Pittsburgh wondering what the heck is going on. The Lions and the Cardinals, Darius Slay has this pick six for Detroit.
Rosen out of the gun, Johnson to his right. Rosen's got it, straight drop, wants to throw. Looks, throws right side, and it's going to be picked off by the Lions. Coming back left sideline, Darius Slay. Darius in a foot race at the 30. Darius 20. Darius 10. Darius 5. Darius Enzo. Pick six, first touchdown of his Detroit Lion career. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions Radio Network right there, and Lions ended up escaping with the win in that contest, 17-3. They get their fifth win of the season. The Cardinals, who just beat the Packers not too long ago, slipped to 3-10. Then you've got the Cowboys and the Eagles. Amari Cooper, he's been the difference maker since being traded from the Cowboys, from the Raiders to the Cowboys. Monster game, including this game-winning touchdown.
Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score?
29-23 on the Cowboys Radio Network. Cowboys go to 8-5. Eagles go to 6-7. It was a deflection in overtime, and that's the way that ball game ended. Then you've got the last game, the Bears, the Rams. Disaster Sunday night for Jared Goff. Take a listen.
Bears are bringing pressure. McManus, the throw, is intercepted by Abel Kamara at the Bear 40. He goes down near the 48-yard line. And the Bears have taken away four of Jared Goff's throws.
It wasn't pretty, but the Bears get a win 15-6 on the backs of their defense. That's Jeff Joniak and the Bears Radio Network. Bears go to 9-4. The Rams now 11-2 on the season. Then you've got the final highlight, Seahawks, Vikings, Chris Carson, the 5-yard touchdown run. Here it is.
And he gets it again, straight ahead, puts his head down, he's in, touchdown, Seahawks! And Chris Carson was not going to be denied as he just got hit at the one and fought his way in.
Made it 14-0 with the PAT, and they went on to win 21-7, handing the Vikings a loss on the Seahawks Radio Network. Russell Wilson, 10 of 20, 72 yards. That was it, 72 yards for Russell Wilson. Didn't need it, though. They ran the ball effectively all night long and controlled the clock, and thus that's the way it ended. Vikings go to 6-6-1. That is your football frenzy. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hopefully you're having a good afternoon. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. This portion of the program brought to you by good friends at Cousins Subs, reminding you you still have some opportunity, a few days left, to get registered to win the best seats in a house contest for the last game at Lambeau Field. 50-yard line, leather recliners, plush leather recliners, sitting there, kicking back, enjoying your team, getting the VIP treatment. Go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. And it's all brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, that's where they believe in better. The guy that meshed, I don't know if you had a chance, if you were there and saw it in person, you know, it was one of those head shakers. It wasn't good. Frank Hermans was a last-minute fill-in for the country singer who got snowed in on the East Coast. Hermans said he got the call the last minute to fill in. He said it was a dream come true until he forgot the words of the national anthem. Flags coming out. Now, I saw this. I kind of nudged Mike Clemens next to me. What happened was they had this big flag. It's all wrapped up. All these people are carrying this thing. And then they say, oh, say, can you see? And then everybody starts to stretch the flag out, okay? Well, as they were stretching the flag out, and I noticed this right away, one of the ladies that was running with the flag just tripped, just fell down, okay? Guy next to her trips over her, falls on top of her, okay? You got a camera in your face. And Frank Hermans was paying attention to that and wasn't paying attention to the song, Lost His Place. And let me say this. A lot of singers will look up at the scoreboard because they put the words on the scoreboard. The scoreboard didn't keep up either. So usually you rely upon looking up to say, okay, I want to make sure I got my place in the song. And the scoreboard didn't have the words up. It's like the scoreboard forgot to continue to forward it as well. So he lost it. He just lost it. And it was bad. It was bad. It was really bad. At the very least, write them on your hand or something, but that was bad. No doubt. Got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Hang in there. We'll be back after this.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.